Yeah. Yeah. And no one like me. Yeah. 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 Congratulations. You made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo.
It's the Football Sack Podcast. It's the Friday show. We are up and running once again. Well, we're actually not up and running. In fact, we couldn't be any further from being up and running. I'm sitting down in a chair, and I'm Jack Quigley, by the way, and joining me in also not running. Well, he could be running. I don't know what he's doing. He's our man on the ground. It's my former co-host, Christian Leyland. Welcome back, mate.
All right, thank you, Jack. I can confirm that I'm definitely not running.
Definitely not running. Well, if you do start running at any point during the show, be sure to let us know.
Oh, will do.
Okay, we have got a lot to catch up on. To get through, we're going to talk a preview show for the A-League action that all obviously starts tonight. It's the Friday show, big game tonight, and we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about rivalry rounds in the Hyundai A-League and all the excitement that that brings. Obviously, one of the biggest rivalries, if not the biggest, it's the One True Derby. It's in Melbourne, and obviously Christian will give us the lowdown on all of that. I would like to, first of all, extend my thanks to Southern Cross University for letting us once again record in their fantastic studios, and we have more news about Southern Cross University to come later in the show. So, let's get straight into rivalry round, Christian. As I said, this evening's match gets us started, and this will be a good way to get us started too. It's the Queensland Derby. It's Brisbane against Gold Coast. Queensland Roar, 30 wins in a row.
Yeah, well, it's brilliant. 30 wins is great. Yeah, you know, they say, you know, if the 40's the new 50 and 30's the new 40, does that mean Brisbane just won 50 matches in a row?
Yes, it means that they are old but clinging to youth by making up some stupid rules. These guys, they're just great to watch. I mean, it's an old record. It's a scratch record. We've said it before. But again, last week, Sydney put up a fantastic fight. But eventually, they just ran out of puff against the side that just gave them the runaround over 90 minutes.
Well, that's right. Sydney put in a really great last 20 minutes of the first half. And they actually took the ascendancy and looked like they were going to score. But Brisbane, yeah, they just held on. They just were giving them a shot and goal, a clear shot and goal. They went up, had one chance a minute before the break, scored, and then it was all over. Once they scored the goal, Sydney had sent down. Brisbane kept possession for the rest of the game, and it was 30 matches.
It was unfortunate, the goal, because, as you say, Sydney were very good, and you would have fancied them maybe 0-0 coming home to a decent crowd there, coming home to the Cove End. You would have fancied them, but of course, Liam Reddy spilled it, and Bessart Berisha netted his first goal for the club.
He did. It wasn't, obviously, the greatest, most stylish of goals, but they all count.
They all count, mate. They all count.
That's right. And, you know, as I say, sometimes it takes a scruffy goal to get a strike off the mark, something which Scott McDonald hopefully believes in. And, you know, he might end up scoring a bucket load.
I'm sure Scott McDonald's long past the point where he's searching for the perfect goal to get himself up and running for Australia.
Yeah, that's right. So, to the derby, it's an interesting here. Both Queensland sides are undefeated as a pair.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, not a lot of people would have predicted that, certainly of Gold Coast. But they roll on. James Brown scores again, and doesn't just score again, scores brilliantly again.
Everyone.
Yeah.
It's been great. You know, you can put them down to a bit fluke goals, but when you do a couple in a week, you go, all right, he's obviously knowing what he's doing.
Okay, we were at the Gold Coast game, the home game where he scored late on against Wellington, and I ran into to Neil Sherwin and the guys from Fans in Vans, Lee from Football Fans Down Under, who I should also just give a special shout out to. I'm going off the top of my head here, but I think it was 5,500 kilometres all to watch. I think it was 4 A-League games and a Socceroos match. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but a fantastic event. I've already said I'll be a part of Fans in Vans too, provided that we're allowed to fly between destinations. So I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, I was at that game and he scored. And I passed him in the car park as we were leaving, and I said, that's fantastic. We came to our first game of the season. We've seen goal of the season, and we can leave. Let's talk about not only James Brown, but his teammate Dylan McAllister, who he gave us a bit to laugh about last week. He was substituted, of course, a former Central Coast Mariners player, walked to the wrong bench.
Yeah, he closed his eyes, just went back into habit, opened his eyes, and Graham Arnold was staring at the face going, "What the hell are you doing, mate?"
I thought it was absolutely brilliant. And, like, Arnie had a good laugh about it too. He just dead set, force of habit, turned off, went off the field, turned to the right, and was well and truly on his way over to sit down before someone told him that he doesn't play for the club anymore. Which was great to see. He's at the centre of more news this morning. He's apparently been bitten by a redback spider. And he's apparently okay, we should say that first of all. Jokes included about a sunburnt Zeljko Kalac, of course. Hopefully he's okay and can pull through, because I think Gold Coast, from what I've seen from the first two games, they're not a bad footballing side. I think they'll give Brisbane a run for their money. But for me, Brisbane, too strong. Your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said at the start of the year in an early podcast, Gold Coast are either going to finish first or to finish last, depends how many youngsters go. At the moment, I still think they're going to finish top four or bottom four, and it just depends how they keep going.
You're hedging your bets by saying they're going to finish top four or bottom four in a 10-team league.
well, somehow managed to prove me wrong anyway.
Yeah.
They'll put on a good performance against Brisbane. Brisbane will be too good, but Gold Coast shouldn't get disheartened by it. It's a derby. They won't go in easy. It'll be a great performance by both sides. I can see a draw, but I really think Brisbane will come out on top.
Yeah, me too. So I'm going to say probably 2-1 Brisbane, I think. Adelaide United against Sydney is the next match that we're going to cover. Adelaide United, who are very impressive in beating Melbourne. The 1-0 scoreline doesn't tell the whole story. They should have won that game by 3 or 4 goals.
Yeah, well, I'm not the biggest fan of Rennie Corn, and their first match against Perth did nothing to change my mind. But they came out against Victory, and they just, they never looked, the result never looked in doubt. That was going to be an Adelaide win, and it turned out they weren't.
Well, we had sort of, obviously it took a mistake for the first goal, Sergio van Dijk pouncing on, I think it was Fabio's mistake, but moments later, van Dijk teed up Slorry, who managed to almost not make contact with the ball and side foot so softly at the goalkeeper from about a yard out. He then played through van Dijk, who went the spectacular top corner finish and came flying back off the bar. And, they were almost made to pay for those misses with Hernandez firing a shot just over the bar with a couple of minutes to go. But, like I said, in truth, that result should have been put to bed a lot earlier in that game. The interesting talking point out of that one was my pick for flop of the season, Dario Vidicic. He had a great game.
He had a brilliant game, and he was controlling everything, and he proved all doubters or the doubter wrong.
I'm sure I'm not the only one.
But I guess you could always say it's a long season and it's early days.
Exactly, and it's just going to make my successful prediction all the more spectacular when it comes off. I tell you what hurt was I was, of course, covering that match for the Football Sack, and I, as part of the match report, you have to put in your 3 points for your best and fairest, which goes to our player of the season, and I could not give it to him. He was too good. I didn't want to, but 3 points to Dario Vidicic, so well played.
Yeah, well, that's it. The biggest mark of respect is when your biggest knocker gives you the credit you deserve.
Exactly. Exactly. Big knockers, and we're not even talking about Pamela Anderson. Let's talk about the city that you're currently in, mate. First of all, before we do that, it wouldn't be a Football Sack podcast if I didn't accidentally move on with the show before we'd finished covering something that we're supposed to be talking about. Predictions for Adelaide against Sydney. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think Sydney can nick this. They played really well their first two matches for only 1 point and for no goals. They're going to break that duck. They're going to come into it's going to be a 1-0 win, and their season will be back on track.
For me, I think I'm going to stand by what I said earlier in the season. I think Sydney will be impressive, but I can't see where their goals are coming from. I think they might get done 1-0 once again. I think the Reds will go marching on. Let's talk Melbourne derby. This is the true derby. It's Melbourne Victory against Melbourne Heart. We're at Etihad Stadium, expecting a good crowd. What's the buzz in Melbourne for this one, Christian?
Yeah, there's going to be hopefully a good crowd. I'm not sure if it'll crack the 40,000 like the opening match against Sydney did, but it's going to be very close. If it's at Amy Park, it'll be a sellout, no doubt. It's going to be a crowd, and it's already the talk of the town. Everyone's talking about it. Even the AFL footy guys are talking about it. Everyone's pumped, and I can't wait for it to happen.
What is Melbourne Victory's deal with Etihad / Amy? Do they have a set amount of games? Are there fixtures they've already decided that have been moved?
They have their five biggest games of the season had to be paid at Docklands, because that was part of the agreement which allowed them to leave the contract early to go to Amy Park.
Okay, fair enough. Big news, of course, from that one. Melbourne Heart, they'll be missing Fred. He doesn't get a chance to sting his old club. He's been ruled out with injury, which is a huge blow for the Heart, isn't it?
It is. It's huge. He's been the main creative force this season, and they have scored goals, and he has looked very good, very dangerous. Terrors look good. You know, most of the side, attacking forces look good. Defence looks very shaky. But
Matt Thompson didn't look great on the weekend, did he?
He didn't, and that's a shame, because I think he's a very good footballer. He's very versatile, and he's normally very solid. So,
He's not a centre-half, though, is he? And he struggled there. He struggled, as we saw. I think he was at fault for both of Shane Smeltzer's goals. One shining light for them is that my other pick, which of course I will be proved right about, David Williams to play for Australia sometime this year. He's off the mark. A nice penalty, well taken.
Yeah, well taken penalty. Correctly given penalty as well.
Yeah, it was a good spot by the referee, wasn't it?
Yeah, great spot.
Because the TV angle didn't show it the first time. A lot of people thought it was a bit of a dud decision, but he's got that one bang on.
Absolutely. It's the first thing the players get away with, but if you're going to risk it, you have to be prepared to be caught, and he did. Anyway, so the jury's still out, I think, on John Fanship at Heart. A lot of fans don't really know, you know, whether he's up to it, which is quite strange to say for a coach who one time used to coach the Dutch national side.
Yeah.
It's, there's a lot of victory knockers in Mehmet Drankovic, but I actually think he's going to go into the role. You know, it's his first real A-League gig, and he's looking all right. John Vanshit, though, I'm not convinced, and the rest of Melbourne isn't convinced, and as far as I'm aware, the A-League community isn't convinced.
I think that it's probably easier to coach the Dutch national team than it is to coach the Melbourne Heart, I feel. So he does have his work cut out for him. Just on Mehmet Drakovic, I hope he stays in the league for as long as possible, purely for the reason I love his after-match press conferences, which consists of answering every question with, well, you know, it was disappointing, but what are you going to do? What are you going to do?
I guess if that's all he's going to answer, I mean, as a journalist, what can you do?
What are you going to do? What are you going to do if you have to interview him? Because he's, you know, what are you going to do? He's not going to give you many good answers. And, you know, what are you going to do? You got to write your column. So you got to, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to have to take those quotes. And, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to have to, you know, go into work. Oh, he's awful. But he's an all right coach, as we saw with their Asian Champions League run. They had a little bit going there, a little bit of coherence towards the end of it. I think he's building. He's got a while to go.
Yeah, they'll recover. They'll make finals. They'll play some good football, and everyone will forget the early season hiccups.
Well, it is a hiccup, isn't it? Because look at their strike force. They're queuing up. We've got the likes of, we've got the best scorer in the history of the A-League. We've got Danny Allsop, who scores, but he's not far behind. You've got Harry Kewell as well. You've got Robbie Cruz as well. And then Carlson Anders right behind them. Is it a case of too many cooks?
Well, possibly, but one of the cooks you mentioned isn't there. Robbie Cruz is, of course, Juan Carlos Solorzano.
Yes, of course. My mistake.
Yeah, no.
Of course, the other thing we should point out is that you'll never hear Carlos Hernandez complain that there's too many cooks. He's delighted that there's cooks everywhere.
That's very true. According to the A-League media guy, he's only 70 kilos. I think someone was telling him porkies while he was eating them.
Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah. So, because he's in Slough now as well, you've got one of the most, you know, best strike rates in the A-League at the moment, and he's not even starting. So it's very much so, at the moment, a case of too many cooks are spoiling the broth, just because they don't know where they're best suited for yet. To me, Solorzano is best suited on the park, not the bench. Also, it's weird. I think he's a little bit past it. But
yeah, so do I.
He can do something special occasionally, but we got to put people on who can be consistent performers.
Yeah.
Not one every three games.
Exactly. I think if you started Allsop and Solorzano in two different teams and played them for the same amount of games, I think Solorzano will score you more goals at the moment, at this stage of their careers.
Absolutely.
And that's why I would start with him ahead of Allsop.
Well, in my opinion, you know, Harry Kill aside, because he's an attacking player but not a striker, I honestly think Solorzano is the best forward in the league.
It was something I mentioned in my report of the Adelaide-Melbourne game last week, was that he chose to play Kill as the striker and Archie Thompson out wide left, and all that meant was that Archie never saw the ball and Harry Kill never got any decent service playing up front. I think he had that the wrong way around. I think he's got to play Kill in midfield and get him the ball as much as possible. Especially when you have finishers in your team. You don't need to make Harry Kill your finisher. Make him your provider.
Well, actually, in a way, he can be wide if he wants. He can be central if he wants. But he shouldn't be a centre forward. I mean, if he's out wide, he can play the last season's Thomas Boyce role at Brisbane, where he doesn't get the ball all the time, where he does, it's a bit of a surprise, and he just kills the opposition defence. And but if he goes play central, he's getting a lot of ball, he can do a lot of damage. It's centre forward is where you don't want to see him.
Yeah, you can't kill opposition defences now. That's violent conduct. Yeah, that and shirt pulling. Killing and shirt pulling is what the FFA are cracking down on this year.
So, oh, absolutely.
So Thomas Broich won't be anywhere near as effective going out with a gun.
Just quietly, don't know why it reminded me, but it did. What happened to the microphones on referees?
Well, see, I tweeted that during the week. I tweeted the football sack, and I said, weren't we supposed to be hearing the refs? And apparently the response was that that was something that was mooted but not ever fully approved.
That's a bit of a disappointment.
It is. I was really looking forward to that.
We were singing their praises about that decision.
Yeah, that was one of the things they got right, as opposed to things we were saying they could do a little bit better, and they haven't ended up doing it. However, we should praise them for white goal nets. We have to say thank you very much. I got my wish. They're still sitting on garden chairs, so you're not quite happy just yet. But I got my wish. We should talk predictions for this game, the Melbourne Derby. I'll let you go first. You're the man in the know down there. What do you think the score will be?
I'm going for 1-1. I think Victory have the better side and the better coach, but Hart seems to always step on the derbies. And because they've got so much flack from both sets of fans this last week, they're going to go out, somehow just prove everyone wrong miraculously, and they're going to grab a point.
Okay, I was going to say 1-1, but I can't now because you said that. So I'm going to say, I think the Victory will just nick it. I'm going to say 2-1.
2-1. I can see that happening.
All right. Yeah. But I think it's another case where a Hart win is really good. I'd love to see it.
Absolutely.
Nothing against Melbourne. Melbourne is a great club. Let's talk the next derby. I think it's called the F3 derby, is it not? The Newcastle against Central Coast Mariners?
Yeah, the big F3.
The big F3, of course, the big news out of Newcastle this week is that Central Coast Mariners, we say the big news out of Newcastle this week because we have to, because every week they have big news. This week, Gary Van Egmond has returned as manager, and Franny Jeffers is coming back as a player. And we're just announcing, waiting for the announcements of the arrivals of Lubo Milicevic and Sash Petrovsky. What Nathan Tinkler thinks is, he thinks he's actually a Time Lord, and he's just going to gradually bring the players back until they have that championship-winning team of Season 3. That's his plan. He's going to work backwards.
Absolutely.
I think Mark Bridge and Andrew Durante are his next two players to join.
Yeah, we get Jade North and that Asian who played a season of the year.
Yeah, what was his name? He was good, wasn't he?
Song.
Yes, it was. It was Song. Yeah, he came on. I think he took every corner in the grand final and failed to beat the first man on all of them.
To be fair, I thought he deserved man of the match in the grand final. Apart from that little mishap,
I thought he did too. I thought Durante was great in that game. He stood out for me. Anyway, this isn't the reminiscing about grand final show. You'll have to look elsewhere for that on iTunes. This is the preview show for the weekend's football. So let's talk about this game. Do you think that the feel-good factor in Newcastle with the old boys coming back is going to push them across the line, or do you see the Mariners popping up for their first win of the season?
It's really tough. Mariners played very well against Raw in the first round. They didn't even show up against the Gold Coast.
No, yeah, they didn't, yeah. Didn't deserve anything from that game, I didn't think. I think they were lucky to take a point.
Absolutely. They turned up and thought it was going to be over, and then when they realised it wasn't, it was too late to change their mindset. They won't make this mistake this match. The Derby, they're going to be very prepared for it. They're going to know what to expect from it, and they're going to be set up for it. And I can see them nicking two goals on the counter and grabbing it.
Oh, well. Very positive. Mariners fans will be delighted to hear about that. Look, I think the Mariners, when they want to be, are a fantastic team. That's not groundbreaking. They were last year's grand finalists. They were seconds away from being champions. I do like Newcastle, though. I like the way Newcastle play. I think, whatever the result, make sure you watch this one. I think it's going to be a really good game. And I'm like you, I'm going to say a 2-1 away win. I'm going to say the Mariners are going to nick that one.
Okay. I think the Mariners are going to grab, like I said. I would like to mention, though, that I think the Jets, well, now that they've got an established coach back in, they're going to make a recovery, and they're going to finish pretty high up in the season.
Yeah, they're going to fulfil my original prophecy that they would finish in the top three. And my predictions are just going to keep rolling on. I want to be. I think it was 6 from 6. We had 6 before you amazingly just got up and walked out of the studio mid show and never came back. It wasn't really mid-show, but that sounds a lot more dramatic. Let's talk about the big game of the rounds. It's Perth-Wellington. I've dubbed it the default derby because of the lack of rivalry for these two teams. Shane Smeltz underlined his quality last week. We've waxed lyrical about him in the past, but now he's got Liam Miller passing the ball to him. How good is this guy going to be this season?
Oh, it's going to be amazing. You summed it up earlier when we were chatting, and you said, Schmelz equals awesome.
Yeah, that's in my notes here that I'm going off. So, he's two goals last week, and that first header was a bloody good header. Stretching, full stretch. He's met it at the far post, and he's managed to direct it on goal. Great header. And like I said, his second finish, albeit from a mistake, he still had the work to do. Sold the defender, cut inside, and it was never in doubt, the goal. And like I said, Liam Miller, he's been the man pulling the strings in behind, and they look like a great partnership, those two.
Well, he is arguably the best provider in the league who's passing to, not arguably, the person who is.
Without a doubt.
The finisher in the league.
Yeah, no, and it was on that basis. I think in my official predictions on the massive That Was A Goal Backpage Football / Football Sack podcast, I tipped Perth to either finish first or second, I can't remember, but I think I picked them to win it overall, especially if they can get themselves a home final. I think if they can secure themselves home finals all the way through, no one's going to go to Perth at finals time and beat them with a full house. Especially if by that stage these guys have clicked and it hasn't all fallen apart for Ian Ferguson. Outstanding sort of revelations during the week. There was rumours he was on a 10-game probationary period. Did you hear about that?
I didn't. What's that?
He was apparently on a... it was leaked that Ian Ferguson is on a 10-game probationary period to see how the team is going. Tony Sage, of course, was quick to quash those rumours, but it's just interesting. It just never seems to be smooth sailing for poor old Perth over there. Maybe because they got no rival to talk about, so they fight with themselves.
If you fight with yourselves, nothing good ever comes out. Now, Ian Ferguson is someone who, in my opinion, gets way too much flack than is deserved. When he was with the Fury, first year team, no real, but the rest of the players, they weren't special. He tried to get them play good football. They missed the finals by one game. 3 points. That was it. He then, to Perth Glory, inherited a really, really bad squad from Dave Mitchell, who was playing a really, really, really bad style of football. And he had to turn them around. So he capped off most of the losses from Mitchell's bad coaching. But for the end of the season, when they played some good football, he didn't get the credit for that. They're just saying, you know, they just had a good string of form. And I honestly think he's going to take this squad of players who are very talented and take them far this year.
Wow, very high praise from Christian Leyland for Ian Ferguson. Goodness me. And I tell you what, you make a bloody good argument as well. And I'm sure all the Glory fans would love to hear it. Predictions for that one. I can't see Wellington travelling well for the longest road trip in domestic football ever in the history of the world. I'm going to say Perth 3-0.
I'm going to say 3-1 in the default derby.
Okay, in the default derby. Let's move on. That's our preview for the week. We should also mention we have a bit of a ticket giveaway to go here. And when I say a bit, I mean a lot. We have some fantastic giveaways. We have two double passes to every Perth Glory home game. So if you want to see the aforementioned Smelts Miller partnership flourishing under the guidance of the brilliant Sir Alex Ian Ferguson, as Christian Leyland has dubbed him now, you can get double passes to every home game. And how can they do that, Christian?
All you're going to do, go to footballsite.com, click on the win tab, and just follow the prompts.
There you go. Click on the win tab at thefootballsack.com. Follow the prompts. If you do that, not only can you win two double passes to every Perth home game, you can also win, I think, a double pass to 10 Melbourne Heart home games, is it?
That's right. 10 Melbourne Heart games. We have a double pass to give away in the same process as before. www.thefootballsack.com. Win tab, follow the prompts, and you're cheering.
And you are cheering, and you could also be cheering with the rest of your family in Gosford, if you so wish, because we have a family pass, which is four gold reserve tickets for the five biggest home Central Coast Mariners games for the year. Footballsack.com, click on the win tab and follow the prompts. It's too easy. It's a fantastic prize, and many thanks to those three clubs for offering some giveaways to our fantastic readers on the site. And of course, listeners to the pod.
Yeah, no, it's brilliant. And the clubs have gone out of their way to give us these tickets. They're very happy, so we get to thank them. And it's too easy. And, you know, if you have a season ticket, enter the competition. If you win, bring some friends. Introduce new people to the football.
Exactly. That is the aim of the game. Speaking of the game, we all love to see the game played the right way. And nobody plays the game a better way than Barcelona. Now, if I told you that Australia was making steps towards being the next Barcelona, you'd call me mad, especially if I said that in a country town in northern New South Wales, a Barcelona Escuela school with state-of-the-art facilities is going to pop up very, very soon. You'd call me mad, but it's not false. It's actually true. We have a feature that will be on the show next week. Steve Hapgood will be joining me. He is the general manager of this development here at Southern Cross University. Basically, they're working in conjunction with Craig Foster and Barcelona and Xavi Marseille, who, if those of you who don't know, he is the director of youth development at Barcelona. And let's not sort of take that lightly. He's the director of youth development at a club that has just turned out the likes of Fabregas, Messi, etc., etc., etc. The list goes on. We'll take up a whole show just to talk about the world-class talent that they've brought through. You go.
Yeah, I was just saying, this is not whatever thing. It's not like the Arsenal store where they bought in every capital city. There's only 8 Barcelona schools in the entire world.
There are.
And
yeah.
Australia might be getting one.
No. There's 8. I think the only other one in the Southern Hemisphere is in Lima in Peru. And this one will be put here. It is just unbelievable. 5-star facilities. I met with Steve last week and had a chat, and he showed me the blueprints. I couldn't believe it until I saw the blueprints. But it is going in. They're going to have five football pitches surrounding the complex, three of which will be up to the FIFA standard of artificial pitch, so they'll be in perfect playing condition 365 days a year. Two will be natural turf pitches. Inside the centre complex, there's going to be changing rooms, obviously, and classrooms with you know, video link to each of the pitches, so the kids can go straight in and watch and learn. We're going to be having early January Barca scouts are coming out here to assess the place and have some clinics with the local kids and just sort of assess the talent that they're working with here. And then they're going to start getting our coaches pushed through the Barcelona way of coaching so that we get our kids to play the Barcelona way and get the ball rolling. And this complex is going to be the epicenter of football development in the country soon enough. It's five-star facilities, as I said. Nothing else in Australia or the Southern Hemisphere will compete to these standards. It's going to be unreal. So if you are passionate about football, if you just genuinely love football and want to see this game grow, you have to tune into the next Friday show next week when I have Steve on the show, because I tell you what, if you think you love football, you wait until you hear this guy talk. He's unbelievable, and he has huge pipe dreams, and he said that he and Craig, you know, they have to pinch themselves that they've got this far, but they're going to keep going with this dream until somebody stops them. So it's fantastic. So make sure you tune in next week to the Football Sack Friday show, because it is going to be a corker. As for this week's Friday show, we are out of time, but it has been a pleasure to welcome back to the show myself, obviously, because I don't do the show when he's not here, but also Christian Leyland.
Of course.
Thank you very much for joining me, mate. I'll speak to you during the week, no doubt. And I will say goodbye to the listeners. It's been a pleasure. Like I said, tune in next week. Going to be a huge show for this round. Enjoy the football, because it is rivalry round in the A-League. And enjoy the Melbourne Derby. Enjoy the F3 Derby. And most of all, enjoy the default Derby over in Perth. Yeah. See you next week, guys.
Yeah. And no one like me.
Alrighty.